a mother's fabricated illness, a boyfriend recruited to kill, a plea deal that closed the case fast.
One wounded, a self-defense claim the internet could not agree on.
16 kids in one house, four adults responsible, a case that's still being written.
Three cases, three endings, and none of them leave the same question behind.
Behind every closed door and every high-profile trial lies a truth the cameras never quite captured. You've seen the headlines, but maybe that's not the full story. This is Debriefed.
Hey, everybody, I'm Sean with Debriefed, and on this episode, when protection becomes the crime, today I have Jennifer, Brittany, and Madison talking about three different cases that all land differently. So the first case we're going to talk about is the Gypsy Rose Blanchard spent years enduring medical abuse orchestrated by her mother before conspiring with her boyfriend to end it fatally. She pled guilty to second-degree murder and sentenced to 10 years. Joining me on this is Jennifer, who's been fascinated by how the Munchausen's syndrome by proxy abuse led to the murder plot, and who questions whether the plea deal was really the right call. Jen,
yes.
Tell us about the case.
Just a super fascinating case. Gypsy, her mother was Dee Dee. This had been going on since she was an infant, really. She was diagnosed, or was it, not really diagnosed, but her mother said she had leukemia. She had her saliva glands removed. She lost her...
She had her glands removed as a result of that?
As diagnosis? A result of a different diagnosis. This is just a whole okay. other thing. Like, okay. I mean, it was just one thing after the other after the other. Her mother said she was paralyzed, was in a wheelchair. That was not true. Her head was shaved, obviously, to support the leukemia diagnosis. And it just went on for years and years and years to the point where... it's almost impossible to believe that nobody really detected it.
Yeah, it there's so much to this case, right?
So
they
much.
Weren't they gifted a house?
They were gifted a house. So they were victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Yep.
And Habitat for Humanity actually gifted them a house in Missouri.
Missouri.
Yep.
Okay.
Because of Gypsy's conditions, but also, you know, the whole Hurricane Katrina thing, which yep. also... oddly enough, allowed Dee Dee to continue to fabricate a lot of the illnesses because she could claim that the medical records were lost in the
Got
hurricane.
It. Yeah, and I remember watching this, and you generally felt bad for this individual, and clearly you still do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine having to, you know, endure all of those fake diagnoses and treatments and all of those factor because there was issues with her legs and walking.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. And mom continued to lie about her age. And she discovered it. I think it was Social Security paperwork. She's like, mom's claiming I'm 14, but this birth certificate or the Social Security paperwork says 91, which would have made her 18 or 19 at the time. And mom did that so she could continue to have control over her medical care.
And probably like Social Security disability.
Yep, all that stuff. Yeah.
Talk to us, because obviously the mom is no longer with us.
Right.
Right. Talk to us about how this goes from was it about to be exposed or how to get to a murder?
Well, Gypsy met – well, she met – one guy originally, not the
yep.
not good John. She met one guy originally at like a Comic-Con festival because she loved Disney princesses. So mom would take
yep.
her dressed up as princesses. And
other people would probably pay for that travel.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Because she was a Make-A-Wish kid, but
yep.
that's, you know, different. That was Disney World trips. But she met a guy there. I think she ran away to his house. Mom came and got her, handcuffed her to a bed. So then,
that's what I'm going to
do know,
with my daughter.
that keeps them, you know, keeps them home and out of trouble. And then took away any of her internet access.
Okay.
Somehow she got back on. She actually met, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing Gujan there.
Yep, Nicholas Goodjohn. Yep.
She met him through a Christian dating site, no less.
Okay.
I don't think it was ever going to be exposed. A doctor did actually once report them. CPS showed up, but Gypsy was so scared that she lied to the investigator. So I just think she felt, and from her like prison interviews, she felt so trapped in the situation. I think it was kind of she was so scared that.
It's always tough when you see the jail
interviews
and they're saying how they feel, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that being planted? Is it genuine?
Yeah.
All those things are. So, all right. So now we go through, she runs away with this new boyfriend, Nicholas.
She ran away with him after the murder
from
happened.
ChristianSingle.com.
Yeah.
Right? And she murdered and then ran away?
Yeah, so he murdered. So she paid for his bus ticket in.
Okay. Do we know where he's from?
Is it Arkansas?
Okay. Sounds like something.
I have it somewhere. Okay. Don't quote me on that, but I do believe it was.
If we're wrong, tell us.
Yeah, it just says he traveled to Missouri to carry out the murder, which she paid for his bus ticket in.
Okay.
She then sat in the bathroom and held her ears while he took care of the murder.
Okay.
She put the knife in the mailbox to his house because he lived with his parents, had the murder weapon mailed to his house, and then they went to stay at his house, and that's where the cops wound up arresting them.
Now, there was some evidence of which did she know that that was his intent?
Yeah, she arranged for it.
Okay, got it. All right. So you think that Christian dating websites are safe? Clearly,
they're not.
So now the murder happens.
Mm-hmm.
They mail the murder weapon to his house.
Yeah, I'm assuming they could dispose of it.
Okay.
Another interesting fact: while all this was going on, she also posted on Dee Dee's Facebook, "The bitch is dead."
Yeah.
The bitch is dead.
Oh,
because she internally wanted somebody to find, like, at least that's what she says.
Yes,
she felt
bad.
She wanted somebody to find her mom.
Yep.
You feel bad, and you're calling the person you just murdered the bitch?
Because they wanted to make it sound like it was an intruder. It wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. You're really thinking this through when you get to that point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So then they go to the parents' house where the weapon – did they beat the weapon there?
Yeah.
How's the Postal Service?
The weapon got to the house, yeah.
Good. The Postal Service still works great.
At least back then. It's been, 10 years or so.
So then they get there. And now how's this turn into an investigation now?
So the way it turns – the Facebook messages is what led to it. I believe it was a neighbor who saw them and did like a check. And the police came and did a wellness check, found her in the bed. It was all social media that wound up.
So now how does it get to a point where Gypsy Rose is a suspect?
The social media, all the social media and all the text messages, they're able to get all that.
Okay. So then she gets arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at what point do we know at the time of the arrest that all of that was fake or no?
At the time of the arrest? Well, I know when they arrested her, she wasn't in a wheelchair.
Correct.
So,
no, she looked. She did not look sick.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that just all came together as part of the investigation.
And part of the defense.
Yeah,
Okay. So now it goes to trial, right?
No.
Or is it a plea bargain?
She got a plea bargain. Goodjohn went to trial.
Okay. Tell us what happened.
So she got was offered a murder second plea bargain, but the prosecution took into account all the years of abuse when, putting forth the recommended sentence, which was 10 years. And in Missouri, they have to serve, I think, 83.5%. So she wound up serving
8.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Nicholas went to trial.
Yeah,
lost.
He was offered two different pleas, and he did not, said no.
Do you know what the pleas were?
They were both murder second, but it was a much longer sentence.
Probably 25 to life.
25 to life with a chance of parole, and I forget what the second sentence was. I think the defense was really trying to use his autism. He was on the autism spectrum, okay. And I think they were hoping to use that to get the, you know, that.
Yeah, it didn't
less...
work because he got life.
He got life.
He got life.
No parole. Yeah.
Okay. So now all of this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And what was, you know, in your opinion, I'm going to ask a bunch of random questions now.
Okay.
In your opinion, if she goes to trial, what do you think happens at trial?
It's so tough, right? Because didn't the Menendez brothers claim that they were sexually abused and
yes.
they got yeah. found guilty? And I found a bunch of other cases where there was abuse, but it was spousal abuse, where there was a lesser. So I didn't have any real luck finding a very yeah. similar situation. But the big thing that keeps coming up is like moral culpability versus legal culpability. Like,
yeah.
Morally, like all she was going through all this. You get some mothers or daughters on that jury that are super sympathetic to the abuse, the years of abuse that she endured. They might be like, yeah. No.
Yeah. I mean, you say the Menendez brothers, right?
Yeah.
And
Madison's favorite case.
This is such a sensitive topic for me. If Gypsy's out, they should be out. I'm a firm believer.
I don't necessarily disagree with you.
Yeah.
But I think from a trial perspective, you can look at the Menendez brothers looking at that as a defense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's because it's hard to prove in mm-hmm. all of those things. And now yeah. all of a sudden, this is the defense after you killed your parents.
Hers was probably a lot easier to prove, though, because they had all this. And they even had a doctor who went to CPS in 2009 to try to report this Munchausen syndrome by proxy going on.
Well, that's my exact point,
yeah.
right? Is that with the Menendez brothers is their actions after the murder
yeah.
were very suspect,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But again, I think that I believe them,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But in this case, you can see, it was documented
yeah.
the years of abuse
yeah.
and what she looked like. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't know if I'm on a jury – I may say that there's a mental defect in yeah. her decision making
oh, for sure.
process that
for
may
sure.
affect that.
You see it today with her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's yeah.
There's something very off with her still. Her TikToks are
yes.
wild.
Her TikToks are. Have you seen?
No.
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 There is a most recent one. I think someone broke up with her. And there, she put a video out of her like sobbing, crying while stabbing her bed frame with a knife.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I think
it's
a lot
not
of
good.
A lot of her behavior is very childlike. And
she's stunted. Her growth
probably,
is stunted.
Yes, I'm sure that it's like a mixture of the medication she had her on. I think the reason she was in a wheelchair for a long time is because the mom was giving her dog tranquilizers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gypsy took the pill bottle to the pharmacy, like snuck there and asked them what it was. And the script was written out for their dog. And so when the mom was giving it to her, she stopped taking yeah. it and realized that her legs actually did work.
And I feel like her mom, I mean, with that stuff, knew what she was doing because she did
yeah.
have some sort of nursing background, which
she
is
did.
Also
yeah.
probably
You're
led
right.
probably led the doctors to finding her more credible when she would go, and my daughter's experiencing this symptom
yes.
or this symptom. And another thing is mom always did the talking in these appointments. Gypsy, you know, would sit there and every time, at least this is my understanding of it, and it's obviously being reported after the fact, mom would squeeze Gypsy's hand or her shoulder when she would talk to kind
yep.
of be like.
Yep.
Did yeah. she even have her teeth removed and like have
yeah.
like,
yes.
a GI tube put in?
Yeah, she had a feeding tube.
So mm-hmm. it really does make you wonder, like, nutrition-wise and the medication, like, what that did to her mental state
mm-hmm.
and,
well,
like, executed well, like,
all of
this.
It. I mean,
yeah.
the medications and going through all of that, you're yeah. not – you can't recover
Yeah, and
that.
Then one no, of the documentaries showed, like, when mom was sleeping, she would, like, sneak Coca-Cola
yeah,
and candy
and,
like, eat all
yes.
the bad stuff. So that also could lead to
yeah,
a lot
that's
of
true.
The – yeah.
Now I'm going to propose another question. So let's say that there was no murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's say that the mother, it was all found out, right? Now the mother is going to have charges against
mm-hmm.
her, right? What do you think the effects of those charges would be?
What do I think the effects would
no,
be?
No, I mean, what do you think that let's just I all think play lawyers.
I think she's
not
getting
here.
I think they're her defense is getting her a 7:30 exam.
Okay.
I really do. Yeah, like, is she competent to stand trial? Because she was, like, a normal person doesn't do that to their child. Like, and that sounds awful to say a normal person, but somebody who is clear in the mind without any mental defects is not doing
that. So let me ask you this. Let's say she was found to be competent to stand trial. Mm-hmm. Okay. And let's say we can wave a magic wand, right? Because obviously, depending on what the charge is, there's maximums, minimums, all that. What do you think the jail sentence for what Gypsy went through is?
Oh, gosh. As a mother?
I know.
As a mother, and a daughter, and a human?
Yeah, all of the things. Poor dog, Mrs. Tranquilizers.
Yeah. As a pet owner. You make a child suffer like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I would throw the book at her, whatever. You know,
how many years?
Whatever.
Many
I don't know what the max.
We could play whatever the charge is. You put the years on it.
25.
You're at 25.
Because because she had all those – Gypsy had all those years of her life taken away
For sure. And still is.
Yeah. I mean, she's still messed up.
So you're 25. So now let me ask you this. Was it justified then?
I see you saying all the time, though, you can't play God.
That's why I giggled.
Like,
yeah,
you know, there's only one person that can really judge you, right?
I 100% agree with you.
But
is that you can't play God?
But I also get I get somebody being driven to that point.
I mean,
it's like an awful thing to say.
That's why at the end of the day, her sentence was 10 years.
Exactly.
For second-degree murder.
Right.
Now, my next question is, do we know what kind of help she's getting now? There's got to be something.
I'm not sure. I know that she is still relatively unstable. I know she got out of prison and... I don't know if she married the first.
She did. She married while she was still in prison.
Yes, I do remember that.
And then she got out, and I don't know if she cheated on him or filed for divorce immediately. But then she was with someone else.
Been through a few.
She had a baby, which is a baby.
She has a baby.
She's a baby.
Yeah. That's what's really scary.
I think it's a daughter, right?
Yeah, that's even worse because normally the same.
Well, I don't think what helped either with Gypsy is she came out and then like
came out of jail.
Yes, sorry.
Okay. I didn't know if you were talking about the womb. Or...
No, she got out of jail and like...
Prison.
Prison.
Jail.
She got out of jail. Real jail. Yeah. And
Not county.
Not county.
Sorry.
She got out of jail and like became this social media icon.
Yeah.
Which is also so dangerous and like
there's a lot of issues mentally
you get from that in and of itself because you're just in a public eye and so many people are out there voicing their opinions about you. So now she's out, just spent 10 years in jail, and all of a sudden she's this icon.
Where she said in jail she felt freer than she felt her entire life.
I'm sure that she probably did.
You get a level of celebrity status.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's crazy because it's that actions and those behaviors that are enabled, right? Yeah. Like I'm writing a book right now, and it's the same thing that, like, as I was growing up, I was like, you know, I would act erratic, but it was working, right? Because the business was growing, I was growing. So I can only imagine from that perspective of doing all of the wrong things and you're seeing this outcome of things that, you know, you're able to, you know, have freedom and do all of these things, probably making money for these interviews.
Making a lot of money, brand deals, all that
stuff. Yeah, all of that stuff. I mean, and it's really unfortunate. Somebody needs to really kind of go in and help her.
Yeah. You know, something I learned, like, in my background in teaching is that when you're dealing with a child, and in this case I'm referring to Gypsy even now today because, like we said, it still is very childlike, children thrive on attention regardless if it's negative or positive. Mm-hmm. So if they're not getting positive attention, they're going to do things that's going to get them negative attention. And so their relationship with her mom was a lot of negative attention, I think. And so her coming out of prison and having this attention, I don't think that she has, like, the mental capacity to separate that, like, these interviews or these TikToks people are making or this social media stuff is not genuinely beneficial to, like, my well-being. It's just
attention.
A tabloid. It's just a money-making thing.
It's just for money, clicks, all of those things. Yeah, no, I 100% agree with
you. She wrote a book, too. I haven't read it, but she did come out with a book, so that would be probably a whirlwind trip to
I wonder if she – because wasn't there, like, there's a movie that was made. I wonder if she made money off of
that. It was that thing on – the act on Hulu. Yes. I watched it, so I don't know, like, how
I wonder, like, financially if there was any gain for her in that. I'm going to Google that after. Are you Googling it now?
The act of Hulu.
We're looking up what her just Gypsy Rose's net value is.
Network.
Let's see if it knows which one we're talking about. It came up Gypsy Rose Blanchard. No, there's nothing. In 2026, estimated values were commonly cited around $1 to $3 million.
Wow.
With some estimates putting around $3 million.
That's
so
shabby.
What a world we live in.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so awful.
Yeah.
So awful.
Use the money to get her serious help.
She should. That's
like, just get better, queen.
Let's get a GoFundMe page started for this.
She wouldn't. She had plenty of free gifts from her.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. But she can only utilize it for this. Yeah. All right. Anything else about Gypsy? All right. From a plot born out of hidden abuse, we move to a case where the killing happened in plain view of everyone, and the country cannot still agree on why. In August 2020, during unrest in Wisconsin, 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse shot three men, killing two, wounding the third. He was tried on multiple charges and acquitted of all of them in 2021. Joining me on this one is Brittany, who was struck by how social media shaped the public's conversation around the case and how often self-defense claims get claimed in situations like this.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brittany, what do you got? Tell us about the case.
Okay, so like you said, Kyle Rittenhouse was a 17-year-old, and he was originally from Illinois. However, he had traveled across state lines to Wisconsin with his sister's boyfriend, who worked...
his sister, Gypsy? She was paying for bus tickets.
Yeah. The sister's boyfriend worked for this car dealership or something or another, and in the city that this was taking place, I want to say it was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, there were a ton of riots and protests because there was just the police shooting of Jacob Blake. So there was a ton of Black Lives Matters protests going on and riots, and if you look at the videos, you can see they're like setting neighborhoods on fire, and it was pretty brutal. Yeah. So Rittenhouse and his sister's boyfriend decide they're going to take a trip across state lines with their AR-15s, and they are going to board up this car dealership that the sister's boyfriend works at, and they're going to stand guard. And apparently Kyle had some sort of EMT background, and so he goes there with his first aid kit, and he thinks that he's going to give aid to anyone who's been harmed, and so they go there. And while there, a situation unravels, and he ends up shooting a man who dies, and that was Joseph Rosenbaum. And after shooting him, he takes off running down the street, and people are chasing him, trying to stop him. And during the process of him running, he trips and falls. And so people are kind of grabbing at him, and they're trying to, I don't know, maybe hold him hostage until the cops get there or slow him down or whatever it is. But as this is taking place, there is another man who, I have his name here somewhere, ends up hitting him with a skateboard in an attempt to maybe slow him down or stop him. And in this process, Kyle grabs his AR-15 and shoots this man. That man ended up, I want to say living. I think he shot him in the arm and did some significant damage.
He could still ride his skateboard, though.
He can. He can. So that was Anthony Huber who hit him with a skateboard. I don't need that anymore. Thank you. So Rittenhouse, he shot and killed Huber, the one that hit him with the skateboard. And then there was another man, Gage, I'm probably going to say his last name incorrect, Grosskreutz, I believe, and he was holding a handgun. And so he approaches Kyle Rittenhouse, who is still on the ground, and again, they're all trying to, I don't know, hold him there, whatever it is. And he did not fire his gun at Kyle. However, Kyle did fire his gun at this man, and he was the one that got shot in the arm. So
skateboarder, no more skateboarding.
No more skateboarders.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
So he kills the two. He injures another and takes off. And in the video, he's still has this AR-15 in his arm or across his chest maybe. And he's like waving down the cops. And no one is stopping him to say, like, why are you walking aimlessly in the streets with an AR-15? Like, no cops question him. And I think that was a big thing in social media is, like, if you see someone walking.
I remember seeing him, and there's, like, chaos in the background from the riots. Yeah. And he's just walking in the middle of the street with an AR-15.
Yeah, I didn't know in Perry State, just out of curiosity, because in Texas you see that all the time.
So I mean, I don't know how often you see somebody walking down the street with an AR-15.
Right, but
I'm not entirely positive.
What's the question?
If it's an open carry state.
However, what I did learn was that the AR-15 was purchased with Kyle's money. However, the sister's boyfriend purchased it because he was 17.
So that's where my question was. Where were the parents in all of this? It always goes back to the parents.
Yes, it's an open carry.
Okay. And so I'm watching, you know, this one police interview, and it's with the sister's boyfriend, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he's talking to the police, and he says to them, I purchased the gun for Kyle. He kept asking for it. He gave me the money. If I said no, he would have thrown a fit, so I just got it for him, basically to, like, shut him up.
Is that a parent that said that?
No, this is the sister's brother. Or the sister's boyfriend.
Okay.
Who is 18.
Okay.
And so it's just, like, why? Yeah, where were the parents? Because if my child strapped up an AR-15 on her chest and was like, all right, I'm going across state lines. Where did you get that? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he ends up, shooting the three guys. The two die. The one is injured. He takes off. A couple days later, he turns himself into the police station. And if you watch the video of him turning himself into the police station, it's not funny. It's not funny.
She says as she's smiling and about to laugh.
He is so worked up that he goes into the interview room and he's holding a garbage can and his mom is rubbing his back. He's holding a garbage can because he was so worked up that he was violently throwing up.
Oh, my God.
And as you're watching it, I'm thinking to myself, you were just a hotshot a couple days ago in the street with your AR-15. Yeah. He's, like, yelling, if anyone's injured, I'm EMT. Come to me. I'm here to protect. I'm here to serve.
Before shooting.
Yeah. Yes. And so you can see him just, like, two completely different people, really.
Well, I mean, that's a very valid point because you're right that, you know, he was this tough guy when he had his gun.
Yeah.
Remove the gun in the police station, he's throwing up. And then we'll talk about social media in the trial because he's, again, he's tougher with the gun. But again, he's 17.
17.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all tougher when we were 17 and we had weapons.
Yeah, for sure.
I had nunchucks. I was wicked cool. Yeah.
Okay. I did not have any weapons at 17.
I had brothers. Those were my weapons.
I was sneaking out and stealing cars.
You got brothers.
I had brothers. I didn't need weapons.
You didn't need weapons.
Jen's attitude was her weapon.
I was going to say, I was sneaking out and stealing cars, but that was actually 16.
Oh, my gosh.
Long story.
Wow. I didn't peg you for that.
It was my parents' car, but still.
Still.
And I wasn't licensed.
I did not. Yeah, I'm surprised
I was focused on the theater musical at 17.
So he goes in and he turns himself in, and the way that he's interacting with the police is very interesting to me also, because Kyle Rittenhouse was just one of those kids who was like a wannabe cop. The cop is like reading him his Miranda rights, and he kind of cuts off the cop and he's like, yeah, yeah, I know it. You don't have to. And the cop's like, no, this is my job. I do have to do this. And he's like, oh yeah, I know all about the Miranda rights. And then the cop says to him, you know, before I ask questions, would you like an attorney? And Kyle says to them, yeah, I do want an attorney. However, I'll answer questions until he gets here. And the cop says to him, that's not how it works. You're now using your right to an attorney.
Yeah.
I cannot ask you any questions. And Kyle's like, yeah, sure, I don't mind. I'm here to help. I want to answer whatever you're asking. I'll just wait till the attorney gets here. And his mom chimes in, and she's like, no, Kyle, they're not going to ask you anything anymore. Like, yeah. We're done here.
Now, when he turned himself in, did he know he was turning himself in because he shot people?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes, so he goes in, and his mom is sitting next to him, and the mom says to the officers, what charges are we looking at? And I think the officer had said anywhere between maybe reckless, like endangerment or something like that, to homicide. And that's when Kyle and his mom immediately, like, just break down. And he's, you know, trying to console his mom, and she's trying to console him. And it really is kind of, like, hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because
they're both throwing up.
Yeah. The mom is, like, panting, and he's like, Mom, breathe. I can't have you have a heart attack. I need you. And she's like, I'm here for you. And you really do see this little boy and this terrified mom interaction. And as a parent, it is really difficult to watch. But still in the back of my mind, I'm like, you were just chanting in the streets.
Yeah.
A little boy, but a little boy with an AR-15 strapped across his chest.
Yeah.
Which, again, where were the parents then?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he does end up going to jail. I want to say his bail was set at $2 million.
Okay. And what was his original charge? Was it?
He ends up getting 3 charges, I believe. He was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, reckless homicide, attempted intentional homicide, recklessly endangering safety, and possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under 18.
What was the first one?
First-degree intentional homicide.
Intentional homicide. Okay.
Yeah. So he ends up going to jail. His bail is at $2 million, and this is when it just spreads wild on social media. And there is this group, this Kyle Rittenhouse group of supporters that come together, and they raise $2 million to get him out of jail.
And these supporters, they didn't know him?
No, they did not know him. It was just people of the United States who thought that he was just a good old boy doing the American thing, protecting his country. And I think that's when it really took a turn on political.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it became a red-blue thing versus a right-wrong thing.
It did, very much so.
Now, my question is, so you got this group of people that get $2 million, right?
Yeah.
Now, who gets the money back? Who gets it revoked if he doesn't appear?
I think they ended up using
a bondsman.
I'm not entirely sure.
But you know what
sure.
I mean? Because it's like normally you'd go, you put up a house or you put up the money. It'd be one person, not a group.
Yeah.
Maybe they did it in like a fund and like it went to somebody like the mother.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious. Mm-hmm.
There was an interview that I saw the mom did where she was like, you know, I'm very grateful of the American people coming together.
And it's probably exactly what it did.
And they ended up, people continued donating, and they were using it towards legal fees and using it towards all of these, like, you know, just legal fees and defense fund, like you said.
Who were his defense attorneys? They were top notch, weren't they?
I don't know if I wrote that down or if I remember. I want to say one was like Anthony something. I feel like I remember seeing it.
But they weren't public defenders. They were like top notch.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. So after his arraignment, he gets out, and Kyle and his mom head to Pudgy's Pub, where they have a Free Kyle merchandise convention. There is this group of white supremacists that come, And they basically throw him a party, and they're taking pictures.
When he gets out,
yes, he goes straight to the bar with his mom, and there is just this whole... There was this group called the Proud Boys, and they're a white supremacist group. They threw him this party at Pudgy's Pub, and on video, he's at the bar. He's got a beer, 17 years old, got a beer in his hand. And
it's also Wisconsin.
Yes. So apparently in Wisconsin, I don't know if this is like a law or what it is, but you can drink under the age of 21 if an adult is with you.
Yeah. There's a couple states like that.
I did not realize that.
I mean, people in Wisconsin don't mess around. Yeah. They drink.
Yeah, I could tell at Pudgy's Pub.
Yeah. I also have some information. So we'll go back to Pudgy's Pub.
Sure.
So the judge approved the agreement, approved giving back the $2 million. Here's where the money went. $925,000 went back to the Fight Back organization associated with the attorney Lynn Woods. $150,000 went back to actor Ricky Schroeder.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
It was huge. I learned that this morning, actually. I was watching on Court TV, and there was a portion about how he was a huge supporter of Kyle Rittenhouse, and he was, like, helping him what's the word I'm looking for? There was, like, free Kyle merchandise, and he was helping him promote his merchandise.
Crazy. Wow. And then $925,000 went to his attorney, Mark Richards. Richards was permitted to use that portion to pay outstanding defense debt. So
crazy.
So that answers the question. Who's the attorney and what they do with the money? So Pudgy's. So now he's at Pudgy's.
Yes. Gets out of jail, goes to Pudgy's. He's partying with the Proud Boys. He's drinking beer. And people are going there for, like, this meet and greet. They're taking pictures with him. They're posting it on social media. It is like this – it just becomes this whole thing. And so the prosecutors get a hold of these pictures on social media and the video footage of him fresh out of jail with his – he had a T-shirt on, actually, and it said free as – you know.
Free as what?
Free as f***.
Oh.
Yeah, it said free as f***.
free as what?
Yeah, you know. So the prosecutors get a hold of these pictures and these videos of him drinking and partying with the Proud Boys at Pudgy's, and they try to make him go back to court to raise his bail, and they request to submit this as
evidence
exhibits during this trial to basically say that Kyle Rittenhouse was a part of this white supremacist group or was getting his ideas from this, and that he went to this Black Lives Matters you know, protest with intent to, or maybe not the intent to, but like the willingness if it came down
I could
to
see it.
It.
I mean, it is A plus B equals C.
Yeah. So prosecutors present this to the judge, and the judge says no.
Okay.
Judge declines it.
Declines increasing the bail or increasing it and using as evidence?
Increasing the bail, using these pictures and videos as evidence.
Yeah, I struggle with that too, right? Because I understand the one side. And one thing about me is I can see two sides of things. Sometimes I can see three. I get it because it's kind of after the fact.
Yeah.
And I think it is a little prejudicial when you see that information. So I can see both sides to that.
So in addition to that, there were two other videos that requested that the prosecutors requested to submit to the trial, and the judge turned down. One video is a video of him outside of a CVS, and there are shoplifters you can see in the window. Guys, I don't know if they had weapons or what it was, but they're clearly shoplifting from CVS. And Kyle's outside, maybe in the car with a friend of his, and they're recording it. And Kyle states, "I wish I had my gun. I would start shooting rounds at them."
Was this before or after he did the alleged
crime? Let's look that up, because I don't... It was during trial, but I'm not sure if it was before
the video.
Shot and killed at the protest or if it was after, like during the trial.
Well, then I guess another interesting thing, the skateboarder was white. Were the other two victims white?
They were all white.
They were all white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe they're all white. But it was essentially a Black Lives Matter protest.
Yeah,
so,
that's why I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they're going there to protect this dealership, mm-hmm. right? Did anybody own the dealership or just work there?
Kyle did not work there. His sister's boyfriend
worked there, right? Worked like, what there. Is it, a sales rep?
Worked there. Maybe.
Not an owner or anything, right?
Or a mechanic or like, something.
I call bullshit on that. Yeah. They were going up there to be part of the chaos.
For sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
The video referenced was recorded on August 10th, 2020, about 15 days before he shot these individuals. Gage Groenkroeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I messed up the name. Sorry, Gage.
So then there is another video, and we'll check the date on this as well. There's another video of Kyle's sister is in the parking lot of a store or wherever they are, and she's in a physical altercation with this girl. They are fist fighting, and they are going at it, okay? And Kyle comes running from behind and starts punching the other girl in the back of the head. So now Kyle and his sister are essentially jumping this girl in a parking lot. And the prosecutors wanted to submit the CVS video and also the video of him punching this girl in the head and him at Pudgy's Pub, all of these things to the court. And they said no because it would paint the wrong image of him. It wasn't the purpose of what they were there for.
Yeah, I
paint the wrong image. Three people are dead.
I genuinely think that if they were able
one's injured, one with the arm.
Arm was like mangled. It was actually really. Madison walked up to my desk earlier, and I'm watching. She goes, "What are you looking at?" And I was like, "Oh, just Kyle Rittenhouse stuff." I pause it, and it's just his arm, like in shreds.
I was like, "Oh, okay."
I think that is part of a, looking at a trial, you want to look at the character of somebody, right?
Yeah,
you want to say that this, I'm sure that the prosecution wanted to say that he was a good, upstanding 17-year-old, and they were allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Right? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Look at the facts of the actual case itself for character. He's 17. He got someone else to buy him a gun, went across state lines to get involved in something that had nothing to do with him, and ended up killing two people and injuring another. Like,
and it clearly wasn't enough because he was acquitted of everything, including that last charge of having the weapon under age 18.
Wait a minute. He didn't get charged with – he didn't get convicted of anything?
He was completely acquitted of everything.
Self-defense.
That's some good defense.
Like, he had a gun. He was 17. He was supposed to be 18.
Yes.
That's why I can't even believe the last charge he was
So, apparently in the state of Wisconsin, you can claim self-defense if you are – if you believe that you are in, like, a immediate danger as far as bodily harm or
death. Stand your ground law.
Even if you have instigated a situation. So if I approach someone and I start physically assaulting them or I cause this chaotic whatever, and if I turn around and begin to flee, it is then considered self-defense. So you can start a problem and run away from it. And if they, try to retaliate or come after you because you've started an issue and you harm them, it is considered self-defense. So he did open fire. He did shoot them. But there was one clip of a video of him running away and when he falls to the ground.
Well, that would have been fine for the second two, but what about the first one?
Yeah, Brittany.
The first one is because the first person he shoots, he's in a parking lot, and I don't remember if it was the car dealership or if it was another business. Somebody else on the opposite side of the parking lot had fired a gun. I don't know. I don't believe it was in his direction, or if it was if it was the same as the altercation he was getting in over on this part of the parking lot. But somebody else fired a gun, and that video was submitted. And so the reason that he shot the first guy is because somebody else across the parking lot had fired a gun for whatever reason.
He was 17 and his brain isn't fully developed. Yep. So he just heard equated one to the other.
He heard a gunshot and he just started shooting people and ran. And he was acquitted on everything.
That's crazy to me. That is crazy to me. It's
particularly
And it's a struggle, right? Because, you know, if that happens in New York, there's no way he gets... There's no way.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Talk about social media and trial and all of that, because I know, you know, there's a scene of him sitting there crying.
Yeah. I think that social media, especially now with cases, like I know we were just talking before, you know, Madison's case that she's going to discuss and this case, there's a lot of cases now that social media plays a big role in it because there's a lot of just everyday people like us who are – we just have different experiences and we have different views and politics come into play. And so I think in this case, it was a matter of, was it a political thing? Was it a moral thing? Where were his parents? You know, there's a lot of questions that are being raised. And when he went to trial, the questions that the people, like us, the everyday people, were asking weren't really questions that were being asked in court. I think it was just a matter of, was it self-defense or not? And the things like the CBS tape and the things like him assaulting that girl and the things of him partying with the Proud Boys were not allowed to be used because it was painting a bad image of him and it became like the political card.
Yeah.
And so I do think that social media played quite a role in it because I don't think a lot of people believed that he should have been acquitted. I think that a lot of people thought that he was guilty and that there was malicious intent there and that he went there to start a problem.
Or guilty of something, right? Just sure. Because someone wants to doesn't mean that they're guilty of something, yeah. Right? Like I could have seen the intentional part not sticking, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's Wisconsin, their gun laws are substantially different than gun laws here in New York.
Yeah.
Right?
Did the videos that were not allowed to be used at trial come out in social media during the trial? Like, you know, how things just get, you know, slipped out.
Yeah, I believe so. I think when the trial was going on, because we have to remember this was going on in 2020, 2021, yeah. When
everything was heightened.
TikTok was a huge thing. Yeah. Everything was on TikTok. Everything was on Instagram. A lot of people were still unemployed because of COVID and they had nothing but time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that these videos were coming out, but they weren't allowed to be presented to the jury. And if you're taking, you know, if you're a jury, you're supposed to not go on social media. You're not supposed to read the news and look at the videos. If you come across something, you're supposed to close it out. So I can't say for sure. I don't know if, you know, one of the juries saw it.
But all us random people saw it and it could fuel how we saw it outside of the courtroom.
Yeah.
Do you know where he's at now?
I don't.
Free as
Pudgy's Pub.
Free as fucking Pudgy's Pub.
No, he's actually living in Florida.
That makes sense. Florida
where
man.
The gun laws are really good. He also is reportedly working at a gun shop.
That tracks.
He's also a public activist for Second Amendment gun rights. And in 2005, he married Bella Nelson, who is looking to be an Olympian for the steeplechase.
What does she look like? I'm really
curious.
I'm sure we can.
Like you would think.
We can picture it, yeah.
I mean, you would.
Does his mommy still hold his garbage can and make him meatloaf?
She looks just like normal.
Meatloaf?
She looks normal.
I want some meatloaf.
They look like the type of family who. Yeah.
Ma, where's all the meatloaf?
Ma, where's the meatloaf? That's exactly what I was thinking. Ma, where's the meatloaf?
So, from a night of chaos to we're going to go to a home where neglect was unnoticed for years. I don't know much about this case, but Madison does. So, what I want to do is give the overview and then have Madison tell us all about it. In an ongoing case in Ohio, authorities found 16 children ranging from the ages of 18 months to 18 years old living in what is described as deplorable conditions with four adults residing in the home. Joining me on this one is Madison, who wanted to cover this case specifically because it's still unfolding, and she believes cases like this deserve attention now, not just after they're resolved. Madison, tell us all about this.
Yeah, so this case takes place. This all happened June 30th, 2026. So we're looking at the time of filming, a month since this has happened. It's been dubbed the Ohio House of Horrors. So in Hamden, Ohio, there's about 700 people that live there.
Where's Hamden, Ohio, in compared to major cities? Do we know?
I have not a single clue.
Okay.
I believe I actually don't think it's very far from
Columbus.
They have roughly a population of about 700 people. So not a lot of people in that town, very small town. Like the local sheriff's office, 10 sworn officers. Very, very small, rural town. So
60 miles southeast of Columbus.
Okay. In the home, there were four adults living there. So two of them have the same name. So I'm going to try and make this easy to follow. So there's Gary Sr. He is 73 years old. Christina Lynn Siders, she's 67. Then Gary Jr., 36, and Elizabeth Siders, 33. So Gary Sr. and Christina, they are the parents of Gary Jr. Gary Jr. married Elizabeth. So two couples.
Got it. Two whatever. Couples.
Grandma, grandpa.
Mom, dad.
Okay.
And then there are 16 kids. So Elizabeth and Gary Jr.
Are they their own kids?
And Elizabeth's 33 and she has 16 kids.
So walk with me here. Walk with me here.
Walking.
Trust
young
me.
Reader right there.
So Elizabeth and Gary, that was a crazy sentence. Did you say a young breeder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyways.
She's not wrong.
So Gary Jr. and Elizabeth, they got married when Elizabeth was 15 and Gary was 18. High school, we're talking about. So in Ohio, they have laws about underage marriage. So because of this, they just hop skipped right next door over to West Virginia.
There's a lot of
state line
jumping today.
And again,
everyone,
so, where are the parents?
Yeah. In the home.
I'm talking about her parents.
So that's the thing. So they went right next door to West Virginia, legally got married. 2 months after they were married, Elizabeth gave birth to her first child. 15.
So it was a shotgun wedding.
Yep. So basically.
So she's a young breeder.
I hate that sentence.
Oh, I'm using it all the time now.
I hate that.
I mean, she's 15.
So.
I mean, it's not bad.
And
the bad part is the 15 other that came after.
Yeah. So after that, Elizabeth's family noticed that Gary Jr. kind of just like kept her from everything. Like he was controlling and he isolated her. And it led to it. It's causing discourse right now about whether or not Elizabeth herself is a victim in this whole situation, I can also see that argument.
Mm-hmm.
So walk with me again. 16 kids, 18. So that one, obviously, she gave birth to 2 months after getting married. We got 18, 16, 15, 14, 13, 11, 10, 8, 6, 5, and then 4-year-old twins, 2-year-old twins, 18-month-old twins. And in the midst of the last three batches of twins, she miscarried another set of twins because they were conjoined.
Batches of twins is crazy.
Yeah.
I need a bucket like Kyle needed. Just the thought of that. Like,
that is that many children, and they were found in a 12-by-12 bedroom. Since this news has come out, there has been studies of 16 people trying to just stand in a room, and it's uncomfortable. Like, you are on top of one another.
Now, these home births?
No, they were all at the hospital. They would go to the hospital, have birth certificates, everything like that. And then, which also, here's the timeline. So the 4-year-old twins, she gave birth to those in February of 2022. She then miscarried the conjoined twins in November of 22. Then January of 24, we had our two-year-old twins, and now January of 25, the 18-month-old twins. There's also speculation. Here's the issue with this case. So much of this is speculation right now because cops aren't confirming anything. This hasn't formally gone to trial, so they're not saying yay or nay about a lot of things. There's speculation she's pregnant right now. So
with triplets.
But with eight kids in there. And so I know in a lot of interviews about like with police and with her defense attorney, the defense attorney's like, why do you have so many kids? Because why do you have 16 children?
Yeah.
And she's like, children are a gift from God. And it so it's that's her reasoning for having 16 kids. And it was reported that the oldest six were enrolled in school up until a certain point. They kind of stopped showing up slash dropped out during like the 2021-2022 school year.
COVID? Right?
A little after.
Okay.
That was normally when people were coming back from COVID.
Okay.
And like that was my senior year. So, and like the kids, the other 10 children were never enrolled in school. They were homeschooled. When the police found these kids, like some of these kids can't even write their name. They are just, they weren't taught anything like that. So let's talk about the house itself. So it's not been confirmed by the police. The police were there for a completely different reason that night, June 30th. In the month of May.
What were they there for?
They haven't confirmed it, but you can look at two pieces of a puzzle and assume that they go together. In the month of May, Gary Jr. had four different police reports made about him for enjoying himself in public.
Indecent exposure?
A little further than that, but yeah.
Okay. Enjoyable and decent.
Self-enjoyable and decent exposure, whatever you want to call it.
Masturbation.
So, okay. So.
I mean, that's what it is. Just, I mean, like, yeah. Just like a young breeder.
You know, I hate this. So.
So was that Gary Jr. or Senior?
Junior.
Oh, Jesus Christ. She's not getting enough at home?
So.
That's what I was just thinking.
She's pregnant for 9 months. I mean, so it's a long time.
I still do that.
And then, listen,
you're
she's pregnant for 9 months, and then they're immediately putting another one in there.
Oh.
So, anyways, but it was back to back to back.
Twins and Irish twins.
Four separate times in the month of May, this was reported. The search warrant was executed, signed by a judge, June 30th, 2026. All of a sudden, they get to this house and they find 16 children. And they, like the officers had stated, if they got there a day later, they are estimating at least one of the kids would have been dead. Like they were in such terrible condition. And like the attorney general, like obviously they had press conferences about this in the weeks leading up. The attorney general said, he's like, I didn't even enter the home. I stood in the doorway. And the press conference happened a day later from when he did that. And he's like, the scent is still with me. He's like, I can't get that scent out of my nose. The house was grime. Like, you could see grime on the walls. Reeked of cat urine. There was rodents and roaches. And, like, it was horrible, horrible conditions to have a home in.
Question, though. What was the search warrant for? Like, what were they looking for?
They're not confirming anything about it just yet.
Is that what you're looking up?
No.
Because I'm super curious about that too. Like,
yeah,
like,
I don't know what
like an arrest warrant. That's, like, for there's clearly more going on to it.
They're not saying anything. So basically, and obviously, it's a small town. People are going to talk. Mm-hmm. A lot of the neighbors, once this first broke out, just kind of said like they thought the house was abandoned. They never saw kids playing outside. They never saw people, like, come and go. Like, if you look at it from the outside, it looks run down. Like, they thought it was abandoned. And what's extremely – he's looking at it.
Oh, spin that computer around.
What's extremely interesting
– No, you don't want to.
No.
– is – what's extremely interesting is small town, everyone knows one another, a local dollar store, the cashiers at 9:45 p.m. every single night, Gary Jr. and Elizabeth would go to the dollar store. They would buy a jug of water and vegetable oil every single day. The cashiers tried to be helpful. Maybe they didn't have money like they assumed, so they bought self-care items for them, shampoo, conditioner, deodorant, and then they come in the next night looking exactly the same, smelling exactly the same. So they're like, they're not using it. There is speculation, again, it's not confirmed, that they were feeding the kids vegetable oil. Like, because here's the thing is, public assistance, you can't feed a house of 20 on just public assistance alone. None of them worked. The grandparents were obviously on, like, disability, but they you can't do anything with that. So
have the public assistance records come out? Probably not, because it's probably so fresh.
Not yet. So, but yeah, it's the house, heavy grime, cat urine. Like, it's a horrible house to live in. When they got there and they discovered the kids, many of them had to get airlifted to a hospital. Like, they were that close to death. And we're talking about either an 18-year-old or an 18-month-old, like, babies. So, like, in a press interview, a county sheriff said, most of our livestock is kept in better conditions than these children. So right now, a lot of these kids, they're just, like, either still at the hospital or they're getting, like, state care for, like, because imagine the mental trauma.
Sure.
Especially the older of the children. Like, that's been their whole life. So speaking about it criminally, as of right now, all four of them, Gary Sr., the mom or the grandma, Jr., and Elizabeth, all four have been charged with 16 counts of criminal child endangerment or felony child endangerment. All four have pled not guilty by reason of insanity, which I think is interesting. They've also all been set. All their bail has been set at $300,000, which none of them can make.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're in better conditions.
But yeah. What's interesting, and this just weirdly interests me, I think, because of just, like, the logistics behind it. So the four of them, obviously, in jail right now. Gary Sr., the grandpa, he's 76, I believe.
73 earlier.
It's probably that. You're right. On the way to their preliminary hearing on July 8th, he fell and broke his wrist. Obviously, they're going to transport him to a hospital. While they were at the hospital, they found he has this rare underlying medical condition. I don't know the name of it. Super rare medical condition where he needs intensive at-home care to take care of himself. And it came down to, because they're not sentenced, they're not in jail or whatever, they're not property of the state. While they're being held before their trial, they're property of the county. Mm-hmm. County's small. It basically came down to, if the county had to pay for this man's medical procedures, it would bankrupt the county. So they let him out of jail. Gary Sr. is out of jail right now. He is at home with an ankle monitor. So that
in that house.
I don't know if he's back at that house. But he's in a house.
Okay.
He's in a house and he has a caretaker.
I wonder who's paying for that. The state. Yeah. Then it's the state, because you said
rather than the county.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has been released under medical supervision. They originally just released him to a hospital. In the updates, he's now home. And, he's got an ankle monitor on him. And I think it's interesting how all three of our cases connect social media. I know you guys haven't heard about it. I'm seeing it all over online. And I think that's just interesting how your feed can tailor to you.
I'm but, glad it's not on my feet.
Yeah.
It actually but, very
now it,
much
now it will be.
Me.
But basically, like, what's going on is the prosecution's coming out here, like, bashing these families. And obviously the defense, Elizabeth's defense attorney is trying to go ham on her being a victim, which I think this case opens up a conversation of underage child marriages.
Yeah,
and that's definitely a conversation that should be had. She's 15, and she gave birth at 15. Like,
I mean, that part doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's all the stuff that happened after and how he isolated her from her family.
Yeah.
The control.
She's so young. So I understand, and I don't know if I want to say upset, but like, I understand the argument that she is a victim in and of herself, but you're a mom. You're a father.
Thank God I'm a mom.
Like, how do you let your kids be in that type of condition growing up?
It does sound like, because you said that she had made the statement about, like, the children are a gift of God. It does make me wonder if religion is playing into this.
There's been conversations online of, like, cults.
Yes, a lot of times in certain religions and in cults like that, like, your husband is the leader of your household. You abide by what he says. And so maybe she just
never
really...
You're like, darn, I need to get in that cult.
Maybe she's been brainwashed. It does make me wonder if she's a victim of this too. And her husband is calling the shots, and he's the leader of their household, and she's just doing what she believes is right because...
At 15, she was told.
Her husband told her so. Yeah.
There's conversation about that. And the other thing that really upsets me, and it delves down into deeper layers about, I know you and I have had conversations of how I hate AI. Online, people, obviously, this case is getting traction. People are posting AI images of these 16 children being held in cages and being, like, tied up. And it's not real.
Well,
that did not happen.
I think what it is, you know, in all of our cases have a lot of resemblance. Cross state lines, social media. Mm-hmm. And that's, for me, the problem with social media now is it's clickbait, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's to get you and if you look and you do your research, social media is geared to make you angry and give you a response because you will be more attentive and engage more if it makes you angry.
Yeah.
So we've got to get people to stop engaging in that content because it's going to continue getting the likes. Frankly, I don't see that stuff because I don't engage in any of it. That's why I knew nothing about this case.
Well, and my thing is these kids, they're very young. They're very underdeveloped mentally. How are they going to feel in 5 years when –
They don't have a chance.
They get curious and they want to know what had happened. Like, think about the 4-year-olds. And in 10 years, they're like, what happened to my mom and dad? And they go on Google and they see these AI images of them in cages. Like, that is going to be so damaging to the victims of this case.
Here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, Madison, but, like, what they went through is nothing in comparison.
Damaging enough.
Yeah, like they're already damaged. You know?
It's nothing in comparison. It saddens me that these kids.
The 18 month olds.
They don't have a shot. They don't have a chance.
Are maybe the only ones, the 18 month olds. They're a year and a half.
You're right.
Probably the only ones that stand a chance out of that group.
So I just. Like, I've been following this case like a hawk, and obviously they've all pled. They've all pled not guilty by insanity, so 730 exams have been ordered for all four of them. I'm very interested on how those come back.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this plays out. I'm curious to see, like, if they're going to interview the kids and what type of things they're going to be exposed, especially if the dad has this kind of, like, predatory behavior, like the indecent exposure and the wife popping
public
out a kid
lewdness.
Every 9 months.
Public lewdness. That's the official legal term.
Yes.
I'm curious to see, and I hate that I'm even about to say this, but if he was doing that in the public and doing it to his wife, I'm
curious about the kids.
The sexes of the children? Has that come out?
No. Which I think is respectful and mindful. not a lot's been said about the kids, other than there were 16 children there, and they're in a hospital and they're getting the help that they need.
Good.
They're in state facility. They're under state care right now of, you know, mental health treatment, medical treatment, a lot of that.
Yeah.
Sad one to end on. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see like a really strong similarity between the gypsy case and this case.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of thinking to myself, like, I wonder if this is going to end up being like a Munchausen by proxy syndrome situation. But
that's different because they fake illness. Yeah. Your child's sick to get the attention for themselves. I'm such a great caregiver. Look at all this wonderful stuff.
For
I'm
sure.
They take care of my deathly child.
It was just like, let's have a baby and then who cares about the baby?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a parent, so I can't put myself in that mindset, but I just don't understand how you carry something for 9 months.
What about your dog?
That's a dog.
I mean, I get it, but
I didn't carry
that by 1,000.
I'm saying I didn't carry him in my stomach for 9 months, but you carry something and you care for it and you use your own body to build it and make it, and then you give birth and that's a painful experience in and of itself, and then the child's here.
I bet
and
number 16 isn't.
Yeah, it's lots.
Swam out.
Shooting right out.
That's
where the brainwashing clearly has to have come in.
I just don't understand how you don't care about the kids.
Also, I'm 33 and the idea of 16 children. I have one and I'm fighting for my life right now.
Well, I think here's the thing. I don't think that there's not love or care, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think that their definition of love and care is what we would consider loving care, right? Because this has gone on for 18 years. I'm surprised that none of them have passed.
Well,
that's shocking. And that's why it's social media. It's
that's
new.
True,
you're hearing. Like, if they were just feeding them, like, vegetable oil, there would be a lot more that would be dead, right? But I'm not saying that they didn't, but I'm shocked. And maybe we will come out and there will be more. Right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if it came out and there was other deaths.
But it was there's also they each have siblings. Gary Jr. has siblings. Elizabeth has siblings.
Have they come out and said anything?
They both families have denied knowing anything about this.
Well, Elizabeth and that, like, doesn't surprise me because you said he isolated her from her
which,
family.
There's a whole thing about her brother online, and he's some like influencer, TikToker wannabe, and he's like, defend my sister, all this stuff, whatever. But it's like a bunch of crap. But like all families have come out and they've been like, we know nothing about this. And like Gary Jr.'s siblings have been like, they've brought a kid to a family event years ago.
Yeah. I was just wondering, like, I'm curious if it's always been this way or if something drastic happened. Like, maybe they were raising them relatively normal for a handful of years and then something drastic happened.
Well, six were in school.
One of them died. Then they all went crazy.
But, like, the grandparents were living in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's generational. I have a feeling.
However, they're old, so who knows? I mean, obviously the dad is in a medical situation. Like, what if they have ailments and this son has just manipulated his parents and his wife?
That's my thing. Not a lot's come out about the grandparents yet, and I'm like, what were you doing in this house? Mm-hmm. Obviously we know what the other two were doing.
Well, I mean, we've seen things like David Koresh, and you know, if they believe that he's the Messiah or whatever, I mean, they do deplorable things that they look at as being Christly and insanely. So I think that's all I really want to know about that case for the rest of my life, unfortunately.
Yeah,
unless I hear great things about the kids.
I'm drawn in, so I'm going
to
be following this.
I'm still interested to see what happens if it goes to trial.
I'm curious how these exams come back, for sure.
Because
I'm just – how can you – no, never mind.
What I will say is we talk about very sensitive topics, and sometimes our way of dealing with them is humorous. By no means is what anybody going through on this, whether it's as a victim, humorous. So please don't take offense to any of that. But this has been our episode of Debriefed. Stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you.